I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I am good. And I will just say it right now that my neighbor is mowing their lawn. So if anyone hears that in the background, my apologies, but it could be worse. You could be me with your window open listening.
That's true.
To
and it's just, it's the sounds of spring.
Yes.
And it's the sounds of a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
And some people actually love the smell of a fresh cut lawn.
Yeah, I actually do.
I do too, except when I start to sneeze because of it, but which I'm not sure that happens, but I do love the sound of it. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world, in time of isolation, can I end up with a cold?
Only you could achieve such a feat.
Only I could achieve that feat. It's like my immune system must be the like fly strip for viruses. You know, that it's just any virus working its way through a community is going to find its way to me. Because I have a cold. It's incredible that I can have a cold. But I do, and oh well. It's not that bad. It was worse yesterday than it is today, so that is really, really good. So when you saw the title of my post today, what did you think?
It was funny because when I saw this email come through, it was the day I finished like a thriller crime book.
Oh.
And I was like, what? So, of course, I was thinking like, oh, what could this be about? But it surprised me once I got to reading it.
Okay.
That it was really about focus.
Guilty is charged. So the way I started my post is I get this question a lot. How do you know what to write about when you write every week? And it's whatever I'm learning, whatever I'm struggling with. And this week was no exception. And I was kind of struggling. I was struggling with getting things done, struggling with feeling on top of my game, so to speak. And literally I got this quote in my Instagram feed. You cannot succeed in life by scattering your focus and trying to do a dozen things at the same time. Boom. And it was like, guilty as charged. And so I saw the quote. I knew right away that I needed to stop and reflect. So that's just a hint for people. When something hits you, when something just jumps out at you, it's your brain saying, wake up, stop, reflect. Something's here. There is a teaching moment here.
Mm-hmm.
So then the first thing was go back to the three R's that I wrote about a couple weeks ago of prioritization. You know, what's required, what gives me the greatest return, what gives me the greatest reward. But that didn't work. Something was missing. And as I reflected, I'm thinking, okay, that's always worked in the past. So why isn't my three R's working right now? And then I realized that I had not shifted from crisis mode back to normal operation mode.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is in a crisis, our goal is to keep all the balls in the air and really focus on today. When you're in a crisis, don't be looking too long-term focused. Shorten your focus to the more present time as to what you can do. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be focusing on what you can't do. And that's really depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that for weeks.
Yeah.
But I was staying at that level too long, at that keeping the balls in the air too long. And all of a sudden what happens is you get tired and balls start to drop. And that's exactly where I was. So I realized, oh, okay. So I got to shift out of crisis mode. So then the next thing I thought about was, have I written about this at any time in the past? And sure enough, back in November of 2016, I wrote this statement. Steve Jobs put it best when he said, people think focus means saying yes to the thing you have got to focus on, but that is not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that there are. So it's amazing. It's not saying yes to things, it's saying no to things. And then as I wrote a little bit more back in 2016, as I reflected on that statement, it became clear to me that I need to make better choices. If I'm going to say yes to one thing, I'm actually saying no to something else. Since my time is finite, there will need to be trade-offs. Sometimes we need to say no to the good to make time for the best. Wow. That was a statement that came... The first time I ever saw that statement, say no to the good to make time for the best, was 2014. So clearly, I am a slow learner, and I did not catch all this stuff because I had forgotten it. But then I thought, so what else might I have missed? So then I just started doing some research on focus and looking up things on focus. And so clearly, I had to make the shift. And I think I did it last week. Get out of crisis mode. We can't live in crisis mode. We can't survive in crisis mode. So the next thing that I put down here in my notes that went out in the post was mindfulness. So as I thought about this more, I had to think, so maybe there's things we have to do with our mind to get us ready to focus. And the first thing, I'm sure was no surprise to you when you read it, was start silencing your devices.
Mm-hmm.
Email alerts, phones, tablets, anything that might disturb you. Why do you suppose it's so hard for people to silence devices?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, right? I mean, there's the attachment we all have to the device, the dopamine rushes that we get when we refresh right. Instagram or Facebook or get a text message. We have this need for connection, right? Like, what if someone needs me?
Right.
I can't count the number of years that I left my phone on my nightstand because what if someone needs me?
Yes.
It's like, I recently started putting my phone in the other room because yep. No one has needed me yet in the middle of the night that doesn't live in my house. So we have that like attachment to the need. I think it's like a sense of importance or purpose.
Mm, okay, like, yeah.
Like I can... I could be efficient right now if I sat and ate my lunch and checked my email at the same time, which is like the worst thing you can do for like your health as far as like digestion and like consumption goes. Like that's any doctor would tell you, like, yeah, you have to be mindful when you're eating, not necessarily doing other things. So I think there's a lot of reasons.
I'm not supposed to work through lunch?
No. I mean, oh. I know we're all guilty as charged, haha. But it's like, that one is so hard. And I think for a lot of people, including myself, like it's not enough to just silence it. Like I have to put my phone in a drawer or put it in another mm-hmm. room to, otherwise, it's like we're little robots, like checking our phones. It's like, oh, it's been 3 minutes. Better go check.
Great point. So, you know, Cal Newport, who wrote the book Deep Work, which I reference as one of the tactics we can use, actually said that our brains actually, and this probably isn't the way he wrote it, we actually become dumber by continually looking at our devices. It reduces our ability to focus and concentrate.
Yeah.
It's a habitual type of thing that just starts to degrade our thinking ability and our focusing ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why it's really, you know, so one of the people will say to me, coaching clients have said to me, but what if the plant needs to get a hold of me? So one of my coaching clients literally talked about the fact that he would have his phone next to him all the time in the evening because he ran a 24-hour operation. And I said, do they have your home phone number? Because I knew he had a landline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, so if you wouldn't reply to an email or a text message, would they call that if that was an emergency? Probably. I said, then why do you have your phone next to you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else. You know, it's like, well, where is it? What do you mean I don't have my... We have to discipline ourselves. If we want to truly be able to regain the ability to focus, we have to find times when we shut the alerts off.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a scenario once. Some years ago, I had some responsibilities for a church over a church in Ohio, and I used to have my phone with me. And one time, I was in a meeting, and somebody in the room was sending me text messages. So then I stopped taking my phone with me into that church building.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to me once, didn't you get the message I sent? I said, no. And he goes, well, I sent it. I said, I know, you probably sent it then. I leave my phone in my car now because I don't want to get messages when I'm in the middle of something. But he just thought, oh, I could get Dave's, even though Dave's running a meeting, I can just, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that. So it's a habit that I think we fall into. And we just need to discipline ourselves away from that. So in like the email alerts, you know what? If you shut your email down for an hour, if it's a real problem, they'll find a way to get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've commented in the past that I have on my email signature that I check my emails twice a day. Now, at a minimum, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do that so people don't expect a reply from me right away.
Right. You're setting the boundary and the expectation.
I'm setting the boundaries. Yeah, exactly. Set the boundaries. Set the expectations. Now, again, I am telling you the reason I wrote this stuff is because I need to get back into it because I've stepped away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the other thing about mindfulness and silencing our devices is to think through what it is you want to accomplish. Excuse me. Wouldn't be the next page without a cough from Dave. Sorry. Maybe Tim will silence that one. I don't know. But literally think through what you want to say, what you want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Just write out a draft, just a statement of what it is. You're actually preparing your mind to think deeply into something that you want to focus on. And when I read that one really seemed pretty interesting to me.
And that sounds kind of like fancy when you read that, right? Like you're like, oh, I've got to really think deeply about what I'm working on. But it's really not. It's not complex, right? Like,
no.
It could be anything, big or small. And just thinking about like, okay, I'm going to sit down right now and I want to accomplish editing a newsletter article in completion.
Yep.
Period.
And maybe even by a certain time.
Right. Within 20 minutes or whatever.
Within 20 minutes. Yes. Because you're preparing your brain for even what that completion is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really this visualization part. So if we think about, you know, athletes that are visualizing whatever it is they're going to perform, you know, if it's a golfer in a swing, if it's a downhill, I used to love to use the example of downhill skiers that literally visualize the race before they leave the race house, the start gate there. You know, the gymnast that's going to do, you know, whatever kind of vaulting type of thing, they're visualizing it before they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they get to that point, their brain knows what to do. Our brains are amazing, and we only scratch the surface of the capabilities. Think about, we've talked about it, the times when you're getting ready to take a trip and you wake up before an alarm clock
because
your brain knows you need to get up at this time. It's even keeping track of time. So that visualization piece, I think, is huge. And I love how you put it. It sounds complicated, but it's not. It's pretty simple. We've talked about deep work in the past. That's Cal Newport's book, where you set aside short periods of time, like 45 minutes, an hour, and you block out all your distractions and you're focused work, so to speak. Here was one that I don't do and I really should do is start each morning with exercise. You know, that gets the blood flowing, gets our body engaged, gets our brain really oxygenated. Our blood oxygenated so that our brain has a lot of oxygen to focus, to help us focus.
Mm-hmm.
How about short breaks?
Take short breaks.
What are your thoughts about that? Like taking short breaks.
Yeah, I think that's really important for a few different reasons. I mean, focus being one, eye strain being one, like if you're at a computer for a while. I think that's it's a little bit. People probably have different opinions on this one. It probably really depends on what your workday looks like. Like I know for me, being like I've been working from home for a long time, so even before mostly everyone started working from home, I was working from home, but also had my girls here, so I was kind of forced into breaks or disruption. Sure. But thinking back to my days in the office and my days now where I do have some longer blocks of time to work, sometimes it's important to just recognize, like, okay, I've hit a wall. I need 5 minutes to get some ice water to, like, wake me up and take a couple laps around the house to stretch my legs and come back refreshed.
Yep.
But I think for me, at least, it can't be that long of a break. Like, a short break for me, it's like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Like, it can't be so long that you kind of, like, forget where you were. You, like, lose where you are. It's just, like, a minute to recharge.
Sure.
Rest your eyes. And
you know, I've actually just, because my office at home is in our finished basement, I can see outside, like where I'm sitting now, I can see outside, I can see the sky and things and some flowers getting ready to open up. But going outside and just breathing some fresh air, you know, standing on the deck for 5 minutes, just getting up, moving around, you know, circulating my blood a little bit more. That's what it takes for me to just get better oxygen to my brain so that I can really get back into the focus that I want to achieve on whatever it is. That I'm working on. So I think that short breaks is a good one. How about sleep?
I love sleep.
You love sleep. You know, as a young parent, you probably don't ever get enough.
I don't know what number is enough.
Yeah, sleep is critical. People say, you know, all the experts are saying between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, I need 9. Plus.
Okay. Hey, you might, but you know, you're good. I listened to a podcast from a woman. This was probably 4 years ago or 5 years ago already, where she was priding herself on the ability that she could live on like 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. And then she really thought that she was starting to get dementia. And she went to the doctor and the doctor said, "How much sleep are you getting?" And he said, "You are literally... like it's sleep deprivation can mimic the onset of dementia."
Wow.
Where you start losing brain capacity.
Wow.
And memory.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you aren't sleeping enough. The other thing is that when we sleep, our brains are processing all of the experiences that we made during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do that, it doesn't have a, you know, you just can't get stuff filed in the right drawer, so to speak. That's the layman's way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that last night as I was getting into bed pretty early because I was just so tired. And I was like, you know, it's silly for us to have this expectation that we're going to like work our minds and bodies for hours.
Right.
Day after day after day, but then not give ourselves the time to like rest and recuperate and regenerate. Like if you think, you know, think about like the percentage of your 24 hours, like you expect to be functioning for a lot of those.
Yes.
With little emphasis on that time to completely recover from all of that work. Like you wouldn't run a marathon every single day and
Right.
So
yes.
I was thinking about that because I was kind of feeling guilty. I was like, I probably should like do laundry and blah, 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 all these things. So I was like, you know, but I really just want to go to bed. And so I went to bed. I went to bed. And that was my excuse. I was like, I can't expect myself to run a marathon every day and not rest.
Right.
But yeah, I think sleep, I mean, we've all been there, like days where we don't get enough sleep. It's like the following, and it's not even just like the following day that's made harder. It's like days that are harder.
I don't think we're not beating a dead horse, so to speak, on this one with the rest, because I think this is really a key as to why we're struggling with focus. You know, my dad grew up on a dairy farm and he used to always talk about the fact that his father, you know, would do crop rotation. And so that you don't plant corn in the same field every year because corn takes certain things out of the soil that, let's say, beans won't take out of the soil. But he said, but every seventh year, my grandpa would just maybe seed a field over with rye seed or something and just let it sit. Because even the ground had to rest and replenish itself. You know, so we just got to think about that. You can't keep going 20 hours a day and expect to be stronger. You know, one of the things that, so I'm trying to figure out how can I get over my cold quicker. Well, one of the things that I actually did the last few mornings was I deliberately slept like an hour longer.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, what? An hour longer? Yeah. I mean, I wake up when I normally would have gotten up, but I just force myself to sleep more because if I don't sleep more, I'm not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think it's either this or maybe the massive doses of vitamin C that I'm taking now and all the fluids I'm drinking. But I think the cold is processing itself through quicker than it normally would have. Because you know what? I'm not getting in my car and running places and doing things and infecting a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just staying at home and hopefully resting more. Coffee. So literally, I found this, that a study published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. Didn't know there was a journal for that. Glad there is. A French physiologist, and I'm not even going to try to say his name or her name, identified a connection between caffeine and cognition. While caffeine doesn't improve learning or memory performance, they did find that it increased physiological arousal and makes you less apt to be distracted and better able to pay attention during a demanding task. Huh. So the day that I read this, it was like 2 p.m. Now, you know, I'm a lark. I'm a morning person. And I usually start to crash right about the time we're recording this. So if you hear snoring, it probably means that I hit the plateau there. No, anyways. So I went and I made a cup of coffee and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I have talked about that doesn't always work.
Yeah, I think it's a function of a few things. Like if you're replacing sleep with caffeine, it's probably not going to do it for you.
Yep.
Or if it's something like, I've talked about it on here, I drink a lot of espresso. I was up to like 6 shots of espresso a day until just recently. And it was like starting to have the reverse effect.
Oh, okay.
So I think if you're drinking coffee, I think it could help with the distraction piece also because it's like a ritual. So if you're sitting down and you're drinking a cup of coffee and it's like every few moments you're taking a sip of coffee, like it's kind of helping you like form a rhythm to your work. But yep. I think if you're replacing rest and sleep regularly with coffee, it becomes a problem.
Right.
But I see what you mean, like, and how it worked for you. Like, I know I've been in that place, too, where it's like just enough to, like, keep you focused.
Right, because it wasn't that I was sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
I just was kind of in a fog. I was getting enough mm-hmm. rest. So while you were talking, I had to make sure that I didn't, like, make some statement that wasn't true. But did you know that espresso has less caffeine than a regular brewed cup of coffee?
I did.
Okay.
But still, I think 6 is still a lot.
6 is still a lot. But,
for someone like me.
You know, 1 2-ounce double espresso shot has 80 milligrams of caffeine.
Yeah.
Whereas a 12-ounce brewed coffee has 120 milligrams.
Yeah. I can't drink coffee because it makes it started making my heart race with all the caffeine.
Okay. So, because I had heard that when I was working for Volpe and I would go to Switzerland and we could get the best espresso out of a vending machine. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay. Didn't want you to feel too guilty.
I mean, it was too much for me, but
6 a day is a lot.
Yeah. You got to drink a lot of water to offset
all the
caffeine, I think. But so going back to it, I think it definitely, I don't know. I'm torn because I think it's also sometimes can have the reverse effect where like you drink so much caffeine that you're like bouncing off the walls.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then you wonder why you can't sleep. Oh, well. So caffeine potentially at least a bit just to wake you up, perk you up, focus, sharpen your focus could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Temperature?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a surprise to you when you saw that?
No. And I think a lot of women would say that they are not surprised because a lot of us are cold in our offices.
Okay. So for you, cold is distracting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, for me, too warm is distracting.
I can't say I've ever been too warm when I was working in the office. I think I was always cold.
Well, you should have used my office. It was always hot in there.
Yeah, it was. You got a good sun in there.
I did.
But yeah, I'm reading your notes here. It says the magic temperature is 71, and I completely agree.
Yeah, I do too. 71's a good temperature. Mm-hmm. If it gets too warm, I just want to take a nap.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help me focus.
When I was a little girl, I used to always ask my mom if it was going to be in the 72s. I really liked that temperature. I still do.
So how about music helping focus?
I like to do that. And depending on what kind of work I'm doing, similar to you, I have an afternoon slump. And I mentioned, I'm trying to drink less espresso. So I'm like, okay, I'll put some music on. And I think it just depends on what I'm working on.
Yes.
If I'm doing something like editing where I'm reading or if I'm writing, it has to, for me, I like to listen to something like instrumental.
Okay.
And then if it's something that, then I can listen to something else, then I can listen to music that has words. But I think it's also good for focus, especially for me, like in my office, I can oftentimes I can still hear my family members. So I can hear the girls or I can hear my husband on a conference call. So I can put my AirPods in and have music going and I kind of drown out that background noise.
Sure. Okay. For me, actually what helped me was the Calm app that you shared with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just have some of their background noise, like the rain, mm-hmm. The mountain lake kind of thing. The rain is the best one for me.
Yeah, I like that
one. It kind of gives me enough distraction to focus, but not so much that I'm listening to it.
Yep.
The other one was, avoid multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
That's a killer for us.
Mm-hmm.
Making time away from your screen a priority.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is how do I discipline myself or find the way in my schedule to just have more thinking time? And one of the things that John Maxwell was teaching on a call lately was that since he can't travel, because he usually spends so many days traveling, that he's homebound now and he's spending a lot of time walking. Like walking 4 or 6 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses it as focused thinking time. Now, he was never in front of a screen because he's not a computer kind of. I mean, he took his iPhone with him to write notes, but he really focused and did a lot of teachings on just stopping, thinking, writing your thoughts. And he said it tremendously helps him think through things, which is really focus. Declutter your workspace, that's kind of a given. But decluttering your head, that was the one that I wanted to end with. I think that's important. And I think what they mean by that is to just take what your thoughts are. If you're worried about something, write it out. If you're you're worried, you're concerned, you have a fear, write it out. Process it out of your head. Now start your focus work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my other mentors, Paul Martinelli, has done this thing where maybe we've talked on the podcast about watching the sunrises in Jupiter, Florida. I don't know if we did or we didn't, but Paul puts the sunrise from his condo in Jupiter on every morning. And one of the things he does is he actually has an 8-minute video to help you declutter your mind and get ready for what he'll call is a brain dump, where you write your thoughts out. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. And it's just a way of learning to do, I think it's freeform journaling or something like that, where you just write everything you're thinking out. And it allows you just to get a lot of information out of your head that you might have forgotten, but also declutters your brain. So try to work, people should try to work on that and see if that would help them with focus. Is there anything you thought of that I might have missed?
I think you have a really good list here. I think as far as the decluttering goes, I think that one's really important. I've said it on here before, but physical clutter can translate to mental clutter.
Yes.
As well. So, I mean, the two go hand in hand, but I do that a lot where I will notice in the meeting, like, I cannot focus right now, for one reason or another. And I always just keep like a little notepad nearby.
Yep.
And just kind of like put what I'm thinking about. And it could be anything. It'd be like, okay, I need to get XYZ from the store, or I need to check something in my bank account or whatever.
Right.
And just like get it out. And then it's amazing how fast that works.
Yeah.
Like within 30 seconds, I'm like back to being focused. I think that's really important and really easy. Like some of these things can have their own barriers, right? Like,
sure.
Or require some time. You know, if you're exercising in the morning, that's a habit change. If you're trying to get more sleep, that's a habit change. But like really the decluttering can be as simple as just like keeping a notepad nearby.
Absolutely. I think that is a great one. Keep a notepad nearby so that you can write down a thought so you don't try to have to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
If we think about like with our computers all have RAM. It's the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And when that RAM gets full, everything slows down. And you have, if you have too many programs open, it's sucking up too much memory.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with our brains. We have to be intentional about writing things down so that we don't have to remember them. I think that is a really great point. So do you want to know what we're talking about next week?
Yes, of course.
Detours.
Oh, okay.
Detours. So that's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Any special plans coming up? It's going to be a beautiful stretch of days again.
Yes. I'm just so excited about that. Hoping to get in the pool.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm hoping to start the boat.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Wake the old girl up from her long winter's nap. Mm-hmm. All of the furniture that was in front of her in the shed is now on the deck. And we're ready to pull her out and have her roar back to life, which is always a highlight for me of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.